Yeah.
Aw, the chunks.
Okay.
Computer systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
Yeah, see, I just want to start this with... This is hilarious that you finally, I believe about a week ago, a week or two ago, she officially took on the diagnosis of attention deficit disorder. You know, after her husband for 20 years was telling her, you know, I got a funny feeling you may have a little ADD. And of course, she's like, shut up, you fatso.
I did not say that.
But it takes one good looking doctor with a size 32 waist and she'll take that diagnosis.
Well, our doctor is pretty good looking.
The reason why I bring that up, because she goes in and she gets the diet. She goes, you'll never guess, you know? And I go, no shit. And I got
to be fair, I've had the diagnosis for a while. I just has never been on medication.
When did you get the diagnosis?
Like, when I go in on my Prozac, like 14 years ago.
Yeah, so they actually diagnosed you with
that? Yeah, but they thought the Prozac would help.
I thought it was OCD.
It was OCD, but they thought the Prozac would help with all of that.
Like, we're sitting here getting ready to start the fucking podcast, and, like, she's already off, like, literally looking at her phone laughing hysterically at something else. I'm like, hey, one fucking thing at a time!
So what happened was...
See, now, and now she has to explain to everyone what she was laughing at.
You know, your phone...
Just, all right, go ahead. This is so hilarious.
This is classic being
married.
This actually is really funny.
I'm sure it is.
You know how your phone just listens to you and kind of type shit out that you say?
Yeah.
I had just before we did the podcast posted something on the Irish Dance Instagram about our show at the zoo tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit post and I looked at the post and it said, we will be performing... a butthole at the zoo tomorrow. And I realized it's because I had called the dog a butthole while I was typing it.
And you didn't post it. You didn't check that or anything.
Nope.
Right?
So I just had to.
Jesus Christ.
Performing
and like
a
this
butthole.
Is, see, now, so now she's basically, if you didn't know, this is something that's only funny to her now because she's literally.
Come on, performing a butthole isn't funny.
If you have to explain it that hard, it's hard to make. I get how. No. Put the phone down. No, don't do anymore.
I was double checking.
No, listen. We'll be back. She'll be talking about Amazon products before we know. Put the phone down. Put it across the room.
I was triple checking. I'm afraid now.
I don't even want to say what I want to say because it'll sound so fucking insulting.
Oh,
but I already know the answer.
Please don't.
Because it's something that anyone out there who has probably been open about your behavioral and mental health and how you treat it has probably been asked. And the best way, I think, to present it...
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, is guys have learned a long time ago, even though we know it could be a factor to never ask women what? Are you on your period,
yes,
right? Even though we know, and y'all admit afterwards... Hey, that made me kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Men know you can't go to your woman and go, you're on your period. You may think it. You may confirm it in your head, but you can't ask it.
Oh, just say it.
And the same thing with folks on behavioral meds. You take your medication today?
No, I only take it on work days.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on. Did you take it on work days this week?
I took it in one day.
No, Jesus Christ.
It's hard. It's really hard to get into the habit of taking a new daily med. It really is.
Oh, fuck me. This is funny. Well, anyways, this is our podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm Pat. That's AJ. She's laughing at typos she makes on the toilet for like one of the 19,000 fucking organizational social media pages she handles.
We will not be performing a butthole.
Jesus. And then that's why she shocked why then when, I'm going into business for myself with this whole mental health thing. And you got to just set up some basic business stuff. And it's funny to watch her like a moth to a flame. Let me do it for you, too. Look at the quality work you're putting out.
Oh, wow.
Look at this. You get your shit together, and maybe I'll let you touch Patrick Clark Therapy. But until then.
Can you let me check in, and then I'll put my phone across the room?
Listen, you and your buttholes.
Let me triple check it.
Fucking check it. Then please put
the
phone.
And I put my phone on the other side of the room. Yes.
Put it over there by the incense.
I promise.
I'm burning incense over here. I'm trying to get in the mood. She's worrying about one of the 19 other fucking things that she does a day.
Jesus Christ. And I think I don't even think it spelled butthole right. I thought butthole was one word.
You're
going to
talk about this for fucking hours.
No, I'm not.
Welcome on in. It's the 264th episode of the Pat and AJ podcast. Not talking about buttholes, but AJ has 47 pinballs in her head right now, is one of them.
I'm actually incredibly relaxed.
No, it is. No. I mean, we are headed up on, this is proverbial AJ's Super Bowl. I mean, we're coming up on March. Today's March 1st when we're recording this and releasing this. And you have St. Patrick's Day, which is your right. That was all Irish dance related.
Yeah.
You are in your, this is the time, right? Like, if there is a, it's what you guys do. You do Irish dance, so you got a million things going on. You got old people calling you, asking them to come by the bingo hall. Apparently, you're mistyping shit, so.
It is funny with the, we dance at like a lot of, senior livings, assisted livings and stuff. And even the people that work there, there's just like no hope of sending an email. They have to call you and we have to verbally, like they won't even give me an email address. Like I have to call them for every question I have. It's kind of a pain, but
my favorite now, and I can't wait. I don't know. Maybe it's already happening out there. My favorite are all the videos of people at old folks' homes, which really is a variety now, right?
Yeah, like, an old folks' home isn't like a nursing home anymore.
An old folks' home, when I say that, I mean anything from a place that says you got to be 55 and up to live here, to places that maybe are independent living, to places that are assisted living, to straight up like these people are on their way out and this is just where they're going to kind of, be until that happens. I love watching all the raw video feeds of all the groups that come in to entertain these people and the varying level of give a fuck from, and I really think I'm like, if you're like, cause we all like to pretend, I don't know why, that when you get old, you're supposed to be like some kind of different person than you were when you were young. Like if you were a crabby son of a bitch and just like didn't like doing stuff like Bill Burr, is Bill Burr going to become some soft, cuddly, like
positive.
Old man?
No,
he's not. He's still going to be Bill Burr when he's 78.
He might even be worse.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm like, can you imagine being one of those normal fucking people? And they're like, come on, Joe. and maybe on some days, maybe Joe, like he's a fucking drunken Irishman. And he was like, oh, this is great. This is my culture. I love this. This is fantastic.
I mean, the videos we've seen,
but then I feel like for every other Joe, there may be someone like, there's one making the rounds now. It's great. It's of a prince impersonator. And he's singing When Doves Cry. And there's one lady, one older lady, loving it. I mean, front row, clapping, dancing. This is the highlight of her week at the Shady Pines Senior Living Center. And another woman literally boos him. Boo! And I got to say, he was entertaining. Was he talented? Questionable, but entertaining, lots of it. So, those are my favorite videos coming out because they've been around forever. Just now everyone documents everything. But this is traditionally, that's a big part of your guys' base, right? Well, is you go to the old, that in schools. You guys go to the two basic groups that love to be entertained.
Yeah.
Children and old people.
Well, you know what it is around here too in
basically
Southern Arizona.
People that don't work.
Yeah. Well, so exactly. We
if
also,
you're not working, you want to be entertained.
We gotcha. We really should be going to workplaces where people are absolutely stressed out
they
and miserable.
Need something. You should go there during a fucking lunch. Go to a government office right now. Why don't you dance for those poor fucking people?
We are
people?
Actually going to the VA.
Go to the
which
fucking
I'm very
VA.
Happy about.
And don't dance for the vets. Dance for the nurses. Go to the staff.
It's funny because, like you said, there are varying levels. There's like, because I know I'm going through this with my mom. She's moving into an independent living here in Tucson. And there's like independent living, there's assisted living, then you start getting to like memory care, nursing
home.
But there are skilled. All those levels. So I see these videos of like, you know, the old lady booing.
Oh, I love it. It's
the
great.
Prince impersonator. Whoa. And it made me so sad because like at my mom's place, like she's not forced to go to anything. If she wants to roll herself down there and check out the entertainment for the
roll
day, that's
her
fine.
Old bones out here.
And that's why I'm like, are they forcing these people to watch this?
See, yes.
Are they wheeling them out against their will?
Do you have a choice? Again, if you are Joe, if you are the grown-up Bill Burr, and you've always been that person, and you don't want to go look, like I'm thinking right now.
Well, remember that year we danced at your mom's memory care?
Yes.
And
it's a great year, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah,
that was
course.
A year before she died. My mom died on St. Patrick's Day.
She did.
And the last few months were kind of shitty for her. But really, up until that point, you know, it was somewhat okay.
Yeah.
And you guys danced at her place in 2017.
Yes, we did.
And there's a great photo from it of her and our son, because our son danced.
But at that place, they did just kind of wheel everybody out.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have a choice. So I guess I could see somebody booing if they're out there against their will.
No, I think
I think the higher level of care you get is where they start forcing you out of your room.
Oh God!
If they think you're able to be out of your room,
isn't that so funny? How much of you know, me and you talk about this. We've kind of latched onto this theory that entertainers, performers, at their heart are people pleasers, right? I mean, that's why they're on stage, and for most, they really want you to like them, and they go out of their way for applause, and then they get off of stage, and they want to be. You know, make the manager happy, so they say yes. And then they want to make the record label happy, so they say yes. They want to make the movie production house happy, they say yes. But it is, you know, just so interesting watching all these performers who just want to, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. It's like, I just want to do it for someone. And I love those videos because it does show. It's everyone from fucking the old barbershop quartet to the Prince impersonator to Irish dancers.
One of the nice things about being an Irish dancer that I found is that it is such a specific, like, a skill that nobody really ever complains about it, ever. Like, they're just excited to see us move in any direction.
Aren't you guys?
I've had to tell our younger dancers that, who are freaked out, you know, like the beginners, like, I'm like, hey, listen, I tell them the same story. I say, when I was a kid and I used to twirl baton with this Irish drum corps thing, I was in a parade and I tossed my baton in the air and it fell. I missed the catch. It rolled into the audience. So I had to run over during the parade and grab it. And I said, guess what happened? Everybody clapped for me. And that's when I realized they don't care if you mess up. They're just excited to see you up there trying.
And that's also when your great-grandfather looked and said, America, stop being great. So in case you're wondering when they're trying to make it great again from, it's when we used to boo children. It's when we...
No, nobody booed me. But what I'm saying
is... We wanted to give it to you tough, you know? Shirley Temple, she got harsh reviews, okay?
I think there are some things, maybe possibly like a barbershop quartet or a Prince impersonator,
I mean, there's
that people
certain...
would be a little more loud about their distaste for.
I mean, I remember my mom being in those places, and really, it was just, I mean, it was God's work, God bless you, but it was just, you know, folks who usually had some musical talent, and I remember one guy would get in there and sing some songs, and it was also funny, too, how I felt like this one guy used to come to my mom's joint out in Michigan. He played guitar. I felt like he thought everyone apparently were in their teens in the 1930s and 40s. And like, because I was just doing the math of like most of the people in there when my mom was there. My mom was there, it was like 2015. So I'm like, well, they're all born. I'm like, at best, they're born in the 30s and 40s. And this guy's playing like really, very 30s, 40s centric music. I'm like, dude, you got to pump it up by at least two decades.
Right.
You got to hit the 50s and 60s.
You're thinking of your grandparents.
Like
these are our parents.
Fucking singing like the Andrews Sisters. I'm like, pal, you at least get a Perry Cuomo.
It's just like that episode of Reno 911 we watched where they're talking to some young guy dressed up like an old guy. And he's like, back in the Depression. And they're like, you're not old enough.
Well, we welcome you all to be in here. Yeah, like... AJ has all that going on with her thing. I'm setting up my business. I actually have like 2 weeks off work because I wrapped up work at my old clinic as a mental health therapist. And as we covered in the last podcast, I got my new fancy license to do my own thing, right? So I'm kind of like putting together this whole business thing. No bigger way to make yourself feel like a grown-up, by the way. no bigger way.
Yeah, starting your own business is huge.
It is.
Even if it, and the thing is, it's truly actually really easy. Mm-hmm. Depending on the size of your business, of course, but setting up an actual small business can be, it's nowadays really simple. So, you know, I think it's
it was actually shocking how simple it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, what you do with it, I guess, is the real tale.
Well,
of
yeah,
the tape,
running it is different, but actually setting it up is pretty. Can I complain for 1 second about your whole process here?
My process.
This is not your process, just what you're doing right now.
What
he
am I doing?
He worked his ass off to get this full license to be a licensed social worker. He had to go to school. He had to spend years making shit money and going under supervision.
Yeah.
He studies his butt off. He fails the test once. Then he's got to pay for it again.
Oh, let's go.
And take it a second time.
Yes, ma'am.
They didn't even give him a real certificate.
Yeah, she's upset about this.
Do you know how like your doctor has like a certificate hanging up? You know, sometimes it's a diploma, sometimes it's a certificate.
I mean, the diploma is all right. First off, I should say what she is specifically talking about, and this actually applies to a lot of people, depending where you live and how you're, you know, what you do for a living. But I get a state license, right?
Yes.
I have a license that's issued by the state. There's millions of people out there that do jobs here in the U.S. of A. who probably are in a similar situation. Yes, I'm looking at you teachers. I'm looking at you nurses, doctors, phlebotomists, contractors. Yes, that's right out here in Arizona. Not quite sure how it is in your state. Tons of our contractors and plumbers. That's how they get those state licenses, right? That they have to go in there, prove minimum knowledge. That way they can go show you, look, I know what the fuck I'm talking about. And that way the state kind of says, yeah, we vouch that they know what the fuck they're talking about. So when I first moved here, I was able to get my first license. And it was sent to me in the mail. Nice little...
Unlike the actual nice paper.
I mean, it was on the nice certificate. Yeah. And I said, well, isn't that nice? And in my business, not quite sure about yours, if you're licensed like that, but we have to renew ours every 2 years, right? So we're doing a lot of continuing education. As you can imagine, learning about new therapy techniques, how to treat, you know, who knows? Hey, everyone just went through COVID. Let's learn how to help people get through that. So we renew them every 2 years. The first time I got around to renewing my license, I noticed that instead of getting a piece of paper in the mail, I instantaneously got an email that said, here is a PDF of your license for you to print and hang on your wall. And I said, guess we're cutting
corners.
Which, I mean, this is, and this is the weird part, though. I'm kind of like,
I get it.
Like, I get it. I'm like, oh, fuck, that is, you know, because someone's
got to
print them, and then someone's got to mail.
I know, and it's all cost money mailing. And killing trees and all that stuff. But for this particular license, this is the most important one of your entire career.
Well, it is, and that's the funny part is that, you know, when I eventually attained this new license, and they sent me the official, like, yo, you passed, and we got the fucking scores, and we vouch for them. It, like, literally was the same thing. It was like, great work. Here's a PDF. Make sure you print that out and put it in your records. And now here's the funniest part. Talking about different kind of access. Because, one, I know a lot of y'all, and definitely if it wasn't for my wife being here, probably don't even have a working printer in your house.
Oh, yeah, if I wasn't here, you guys wouldn't have a printer.
Lord knows the only reason why we have a printer in this house is because my wife works here. Trust me, otherwise, I'm that guy who never prints anything. And if I do desperately need something printed, I'll make a way. I'll find an office shop. It used to be called Kinko's Kids.
Remember Kinko's?
Remember back in the day?
I spent half my college career at Kinko's.
Remember when the biggest scandal was the president getting a blowjob from an intern?
That was
at
fun.
Kinko's? But now AJ, she has a printer. So I go, okay, look at my fancy new license that, like, as you said, I've worked so hard to get together.
You paid a lot for it, too.
I go, let me print that sumbitch out. Boom, I hit print, and I walk on over to the other room, and I snag it off the printer, all fucked up. Like, our printer's out of half the ink
I just have
of the certain
it.
Colors that are needed.
He comes out, and he shows this piece of paper to me, and he comes out like strutting. He's like, hey, check it out. And all I see is this garbled piece of paper with, like, half yellow print on it.
It's
and,
great.
Like, some...
It looks bootleg. Put it like this. If my passport looked like this, I don't think the country would let me in.
Listen, I got a PDF of a certificate when I became a certified weather their spotter, okay? You should not be getting a PDF licensed social worker.
But again, I do say, and this is the weird part, yes, I have my big boy license, but as I said, there are requirements for me to maintain it, so it does expire in 2 years. I will need another one, and I can only imagine then if you are someone, just think about that, every 2 years, let's just pretend... in my case, that I practice for 25 years.
Yeah.
That is what? 12 times you're going to get paper ones. What are you eventually going to end up doing when they send them to you?
You just swap them out. And then you don't put up the new one and keep the old
you're
one.
You're just going to fucking start throwing them out.
I get it. I'm with you. I'm torn on it because I understand, but I feel like the first one, for God's sake, spring for like the $2 in stamps you'll need and send these out to people. The updated one every 2 years, it's fine. But the first one,
We have midterm elections coming up here in Arizona.
Is that on the ballot?
Can probably get it on the ballot. Did you see how many goddamn propositions we had?
Oh, I know.
Arizona, you can tell the Californians moved to Arizona because they figured out how to get all the props on the ballot. Our last ballot here for Arizona, I swear to Christ, it was like a fucking roadmap.
Yep.
For those of us who are old enough to remember that shitty roadmap that you had to open up and it was fucking like 9 times folded.
Yep.
I swear to Christ, there were that many propositions. So I think if you put your head together, and you find one like-minded lobbyist.
Can I do that?
You can make this happen. Give them certificates on certificate paper. People are amped up right now. You can get them to fucking vote.
I know.
Just nod to whatever they bitch at you about, and they'll sign your petition.
Yes.
Trust me. Yeah, I'm setting up this whole business. It's kind of interesting because now I'm, I guess in the short term, not real long, maybe like 4 weeks, kind of floating with not a lot of income coming in from my end.
It's not that long. We'll manage.
Which I like because it harkens back to the days when I was coming up in the radio business making like no money, way before I met AJ, like 2001, pre-9/11. And you really had to get creative. Like I was eating off like coupons for free Happy Meals and shit. I got really excited when the Mighty Meal came out because it was bigger than a Happy Meal. And the radio station got like 1,000 fucking... You know, dude, the free Mighty Meal cards. I'm like, dude, this is fucking dinner.
When we were broke radio people, you have no idea how many of those little coupons and stuff like we sneaked away.
Took them all.
Remember the when we were super broke?
No, that's called corporate waste right there. Yeah. Or corporate welfare, you know? You got to support your employees.
I think it was more corporate welfare. You're not paying me enough to eat, so I have to take free coupons that you hand out to other people. The turkey coupons, remember?
Oh, yes! Those were the best!
We were so broke.
This is Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, we were so broke. We had a little kid we're paying for daycare. I mean, it was just insane. And they were giving out these, like, Jennie-O. It was like, how much was it?
It was like 10, like a quarter a pound or something.
Yeah, I think it was like 10 cents.
10 cents. Yeah. That's why I wanted to say 10
for a turkey.
Yeah.
And we gave them out for Thanksgiving, but we had like so many of them that
and
lasted.
There were no expiration dates.
So we would go and get one of these. We'd take a coupon, go get one of the turkeys, and we eat it for days.
Bro, we were having turkey in fucking March.
It was like
July.
It was like weekly. It was a lot.
We were like, we're like Bubba from Forrest Gump. We're like, you can smoke it. You can fry it. You can bake
it. It's the middle of July. It's 100 degrees, and we've got the oven heated for 4 hours to cook a turkey. That was cheap.
So, you know, I like this. I like when, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to kind of tighten my belt and I really don't have anything going on during this month. So I'm like, great. There's no inherent cost or anything. But I get fun and I like to go cheap shopping and buy low dough food and stuff like that. I'm also loving, by the way.
Did you go shopping yet?
I'm about to today. Cool. I'm waiting for this to come to the grocery store because this is another new one that I love. And I know I'm enjoying it because I have a good credit score finally after 46 fucking years.
We finally figured it out.
Dude, Klarna is my best friend. I know. I'm like the guy. I know. I'm saying that right now. I'm going to tell you what I think of. In 2005, I met one of the most talented people in the world. His name is Craig Carson. And he was a DJ in Milwaukee. And I said, Craig, I just signed up for Netflix. They send you DVDs in the mail. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, welcome to 2005. And I was like, fuck you, man. I'm cool now. So I know when I say that, Klarna, half of you like AJ go, Yeah, welcome to 2025.
So, well, because I introduced him to it. Dope. And I remember the first time I used it, I was expecting, you know, the typical, like, Pat doesn't let you explain things. He just reacts. And he looked at me and his face got all twisted and he started to freak out. I said, slow down. So I used Klarna to pay for this big purchase. Klarna, and it's not just Klarna. There are many, many things like
I was going to say, it is
like Shop Pay and
I
all that
I feel
stuff.
Like it's more of an industry. It's and an I, industry, yeah. So let's call the industry, and maybe it's called this, but for the sake of this podcast, we're going to call it the extended pay industry.
So if you have a really good credit score, it will let you make payments on a purchase. You don't have to get a credit card or anything. And if you have good credit, it'll be with no interest.
And no fee.
And no fee.
That was my big thing. When AJ first started going, hey, don't worry, I put it on the extended pay, and so it's this many payments, and I love my wife, and the same way she says I like to jump in and butt in, she also sometimes, like, glazes past a lot to, sure, like, yeah, the end. She likes to just get done, click, 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 click. My cheap Polish ass was like, is there a fucking fee for this? Because no. I know America, and we're capitalists, okay? We don't do shit because it's nice. We do it because we can make a profit.
I know.
So I said, how are they making dough off this? And that's when you let me in, that there is no fee. Okay, but they do want to know your credit score.
Yes.
You know where that's going, folks. Yeah. If you have good credit, such as we do for the first fucking time ever, they go, oh, you're such an outstanding person. Here is this purchase you want to make. Let's just say it's a $150 concert ticket.
Yeah, you just don't have that right now. Yeah.
And it goes, hey, we're going to split this up into four payments of 35, whatever, a piece. And they're going to happen every 2 weeks. And hey, you'll have this paid off in 6 weeks. Congratulations. Now, from what I understand, if you want to, even with the perfect credit score, extend that even further.
Yeah, if you want to do eight payments instead of four, then they charge you interest.
I was going
to
say, then yeah, they start getting into, okay, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do that for 5%.
Yeah.
And then you can even do it more. Well, I want to stretch it out 16. And yeah, they go, all right, Mr. Perfect Credit Score, we'll do it, but we're going to do it for 10%. So I have to assume if you were to punch in your shit and you have, let's just say, a Pat credit score from circa 2008, they probably off the bat are going to say, all right, pal, we're going to do four payments, but we're charging like 20% interest, yeah, right? Is that the general,
yes,
gist of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it really is great if you have a great credit score.
So yeah, so it's a good option. Well, I mean, you can still do it without, but it's like anything else.
It will charge you interest like a credit card. It's just, you're not signing up for an actual card. It's just for that purchase.
And it's very, as we say, time limited, right? Where credit cards go, oh, you can charge that and just spend the rest of your fucking life giving us $1 a month. Where even if you choose
you have to pay it off, yes, in a certain amount of payments.
Like, they break it down to like four or eight or six payments, and you make these payments and boom, then you're done.
Well, it's also not just like an open line of credit either. When you're done paying off that purchase, it's gone. You don't have just like, it's not like a credit card where they're like, you had $1,000 left, what are you gonna buy?
It's cool because now for like these little things, these purchases that I'm making now, like, I swear to you, everything that gives the offer, I'm like, well, let me see that shit. So I have all these, everything from the first time I actually did it, I kid you not, it was a $50 t-shirt.
Yeah.
It was a dead t-shirt.
I was surprised you did it for a $50 shirt. Like, that's bordering on you could pay for that.
No. I could have, but it was just funny because it said, well, I can break that down into six payments and it's like $8. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, well, that sounds cool.
Yeah, you're not going to notice $8 slipping out, exactly, of your account. You will, every 2 weeks, you will notice $50.
So I did it
It's nice for purchases that are not necessary.
It definitely, I was trying to figure out the psychology of when the extended pay thing came into existence. I said, what is the psychology? There's got to be a hustle here because it's kind of like an extension of the old brand credit card.
Yeah.
Remember, you go to Best Buy, they want you to get a Best Buy, yes, card. Or, you know, you worked at Vicky's and you always said, yeah, Victoria's Secret. Oh. road, y'all.
We had to stand at the door and be like, welcome to Victoria's Secret. Would you like a credit card?
Yeah, you guys became fucking all of a sudden like bankers, right?
Hated it.
You weren't panty saleswomen anymore. You were just working for like JP Morgan. But so I figured, I'm like, what, why? What are we doing? And I said, it has to come down to playing on your impulses.
Yeah.
Because as I said, notice, there ain't going to be no Klarna at the grocery store.
No.
I'd take it, though.
Yeah.
If I had to go right now, because again, like I said, I'm kind of low on dough for a month, but my beautiful wife over here works so hard, so it's not too much of an impact on the household. But to save cash, if I were able to go right now to Costco and just fucking clear that thing out with meat, and they're like, all right, can we do this in four payments
now,
of this much? Oh, come on!
Don't yell at me, but I'm going to check something because I think I'm going to grab my phone and check something because I think you might be wrong about the grocery.
All right. I'm going to find out.
And
although, good job for keeping your phone across the room for the entire podcast so far.
Hang
you
on.
Don't understand. Half an hour for her, that's a big deal.
Shut up. You're on your phone all the time, too.
Not right now, though. Go ahead.
So I recall because I went to order something and I had a bunch of stuff in my cart. And let's see, let's do groceries because it was a place that's, you know, sells groceries and a million other things. I'm pretty sure with the groceries in my cart, it said it's like $82.75 or, you know, four interest-free payments of 19 something with.
Was it just for goods or is it for food?
So I think this was for food and I don't have the cart open anymore.
I'm going to Costco right now. I'm going to extendo pay.
I don't think it was Costco. Was
500
it?
Bucks of meat.
Because Costco would do it because you can buy something. You know, that place is just, it's not pricey, but you are buying in bulk. So it does cost more.
Right.
But I mean, it's so, you're checking out and it's like your total is $117.83 or this much every month, twice a week, you know, or once every 2 weeks with Klarna. So it is like, it's right in front of you.
And it's also weird because it's the opposite of, for those of us who are old enough to remember the layaway days. And layaway was really kind of like the poor man's credit card, you know, or you didn't have the cash for all the Christmas presents.
Yeah.
So what you do is you'd go to Kmart in September.
Layaway.
And you go get the Barbie Dream Castle or whatever fuck. And you go, hey, I'm going to lay away to some bitch. And be like, all right, listen, you got to put down X amount, right? Usually a percentage of whatever it costs.
Yeah.
Let's say it costs 50 bucks. They go, hey, we need 10% of that. We need $5 right now. And you go, here's my $5. Now, in those days, they would then take the Barbie Dream House. They'd put it in back. They'd put your name on it. And you'd get a little receipt saying, all right, you paid $5, you owe $45. You had up until an X amount of date to go pay it, and then you got the item. That was the quid pro quo there, right? They weren't going to let you walk out with it.
That's what I wonder about this whole system is, let's say, I mean, I think it's just an automatic deduction, so I don't think you really have a choice.
No, yeah. No,
because otherwise,
this is way more structured. Like,
yeah.
Like, because remember, we would also read about the what would they call them? The, you know, the angels that would go around on Christmas.
Yeah.
And they'd pay off random people's layaways.
Yeah.
Like they would just go, hey, give me, you know, I got this much money. Go find me 10 layaways and I'm going to pay them off. And someone would get a phone call going, hey, some nice person on Christmas paid off your layaway. And then you would go get your shit. But this.
That's what I didn't understand about Klarna in the beginning. I said, wait. So they send it to me before I paid it off.
Yeah.
Like, that was weird to me.
But that has to be, too. I mean, that's why I'm thinking, because we'll find out. You know what? Oh, this is going to, you know, these.
I mean, they warn you when a payment's coming up. They're like, hey.
They do tell you.
But automatically deduct.
But you get the item up front.
You do get it first.
It is. I mean, so what happens if you shut, I mean, obviously, you shut down your account. You're just fucked with them again. They're not going to work with you again. But, man, this is, you know what? I'm going to test it. We'll see if it comes up today. And this definitely does not go in line with what I just said about making sure to tighten the belt a little bit till I get some more income rolling in when my business opens. I wonder if they'll offer Klarna extended pay payments when I buy tickets to Juggalo Championship Wrestling. They're $25 a piece, the tickets.
You know, I'm going to go with a no.
It's on,
that.
Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster offers that shit.
Yeah, but doesn't it have to be like a minimum amount?
Well, I am buying two tickets.
Oh, that's my God. $50. Do not. That's so
I'm going to Klarna out some Juggalo shit.
Juggalo wrestling suitcase.
Listen. Michigan, this is really for Michiganders and maybe the rest of some of our white trash friends throughout the Midwest who know are down with the clowns. Insane Clown Posse, I think at this point, are American folk heroes.
Oh, totally.
For being able to exist as a music entity in an independent fashion without major media play, push, for like decades now. Yeah. I mean, they're literally, this is like 25, 30 years of Insane Clown Posse selling out arenas, some way, shape, or form doing something. These guys have fucking put out movies.
Yeah,
there's there's a Juggalo themed Western movie.
Oh, I'm not watching that.
So
here's what, and trust me, this is one of those things that like, I knew about ICP before I moved to Michigan.
So I was going to ask, so let's start with that. Okay. Cause you're from Milwaukee. I'm from Chicago. I can tell you, I jumped on the ICP train when, probably they were at their biggest mainstream success and they had a big moment where they were on TV with like major wrestling corporations. They had a big album that not only was a leap forward for them in their production, but it had controversy where it was going to be released on one label. And then that label was an imprint of Disney.
Yeah.
And Disney found out about it and made sure that it was one of those, right? It was like 96, 97. I remember jumping on the train. I went to a show.
Did you really?
I went to a show in Chicago at the House of Blues.
Were they spraying Faygo on you at that point?
Are you ready for this? This is the most fucking ICP story ever.
Okay.
They did one song, and the one guy fucking dropped out and passed out and fainted, and the show was over.
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And now I talk to Juggalos about it, and it's apparently a show that's like one of those that lives in infamy.
Okay.
They're like, you were at the Manic Panic show. I go, I was at a motherfucking show that lasted 3 minutes, and I took a train all the way downtown to Chicago. But I will say, after the little flare-up, you know, you get out of college, maybe you realize, you know, you're going to move on in life. I went on and did my thing. ICP kept going, and they've been around. Now, that was my imprint of them. I knew of them from that period, and then really when we moved to Michigan, saw, holy fuck, this is like the OG stomping grounds. And in Wisconsin, I don't know. I mean,
I knew who ICP was.
Far outside your realm.
For me, yes. Yeah. But my friends who were into that kind of music were like, I knew they were into ICP. It was just never my thing. But then when we moved to Michigan and I learned the lore.
You felt the original presence.
I felt the original presence of the Insane Clown Posse. And then I remember Pat.
You learn about the auto industry, the Teamsters, and ICP when you moved to Michigan.
And then Pat said to me, he goes, hey, we should watch something tonight. And I said, what's that? And he goes, just hang with me here for a second.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, it's ICP theater. And I'm like, what the hell is that? Because ICP just wasn't in my everyday vernacular. Like, I didn't just shout it out.
I was so reminded of them because all of a sudden in Michigan, like, they were at, like, I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot. This is where the OGs are. And we even had a couple, I don't, you know, yeah, I can say it. Our good friend Dawn, who just rolled through, famously said, oh, Jesus, I was one of those like 16-year-old girls at the ICP shows on top of someone's shoulders getting sprayed with Faygo.
Yeah.
And I mean, so literally I felt the imprint of the band. And now that their folks were grown up and having their own kids.
So he goes online and he starts poking around to see what's
so
going on with ICP.
Like, you know, I'm like, yo, like, so what are these guys doing? I know they're doing a lot of shows. Is it just the old shit?
And then he finds ICP theater and he says, listen, we should watch this. It's funny. I'm telling you it's funny. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't. I wouldn't make you watch it. And I was like, ugh, okay, whatever.
They're
entertained. He goes, it's kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, but with the Insane Clown Posse. Yeah. And we watched it, and I couldn't get enough of ICP theater.
I said it was very Flint. I said, now that we live in Flint and you've existed in Flint, you've been attacked by a person at a apple orchard in Flint.
Yes.
You know, you get the kind of hate 1-0. I go, these two guys are so kind of, you know, like, you know, Detroit, Flint, mid-Michigan, scumbag. I'm like, you'll understand everything they're doing.
And I loved
you
it. Did.
Like, luckily you got it. Like,
I loved ICP Theater.
And like, it was on, we were bootlegging it, which is no truer way to watch anything ICP. Because it was like originally on Fuse, which is like a Canadian music channel.
But then it was on YouTube.
They bootlegged it on YouTube. And now
I don't know what happened to it.
And it was fucking wacky. They had guests on. They'd have guests on and they would watch music videos. They'd make fun of them.
It was hilarious. Except Pat tried to get me to make the transition from watching ICP Theater to, hey, how would you feel about going to an ICP show? Okay. And I said, hang on. Slow down there. I'm like, that's a big jump to make, and I'm not sure I'm ready for it. I'm not into their music at all.
If you want to talk, well, one, I will stand by. The Great Malenko is a great album.
That is it, yes.
It's a great album front to back. And listen, they got their own thing. For anyone out there who's done concept music, and I'm looking at you, Alice Cooper, I mean, who, even though he's from Phoenix, I mean, he made his bones in Detroit, so who knows? They came up listening to him. But anyone who's done that kind of stuff, you create these characters. I'm like, God bless you. And these guys have created a mythology. They have a mythology behind their shit. It's a storyline. It really is like wrestling. So, you know, Pat's into the green. The cannabis cup started coming to mid-Michigan because Genesee County, very friendly. And the cannabis cup was held at the Clio racetrack. And they would bring in, I shit you not, $1 million music acts.
Yeah.
They had,
it was impressive.
It was meant to be like obviously a bazaar for the ganja and all these great people selling and competing and people consuming.
I mean, it's great. Weed is great, but you still need entertainment. Yeah.
And they started booking, I shit you not, $1 million entertainment acts that stoners didn't care about.
Yeah.
It was the best. It was kind of funny seeing $1 million acts get humbled. I saw Steve Aoki come out thinking he was going to come out to the racetrack at EDC. Instead, it was about 75 dudes who've been, you know, doing bong rips since 11 a.m. On their third hot dog. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, man.
But the 1 year they said, hey, ICP is going to be playing the cannabis cup. I go, well, this is a fucking twofer right here. You get to go get down with the green and you get to see like Michigan legends ICP right here. And I'm thinking these guys love it. It's down the road from where they fucking live. You don't got to travel for the show. I thought you might want to come.
It just was, it was a step too much for me. It was a step too much. And that's fine. I still think they're awesome. And I can't believe they've made this career, like you said, out of like zero radio play.
Yeah.
They're like fish. They're just this like legendary, we exist, but outside of the mainstream realm band.
That's a great comparison, right? Where fish, same too. They only scraped the mainstream for a second, a blip, and somehow they kept going. And by now it is what it is. And the Juggalos are like that. Like they're at this point, again, they've got their original fans are old enough to have 20-year-old kids who may be second-generation fans. By the way, the show I saw was fantastic.
I
finally figured out how they do the Faygo thing, because if you don't know,
they spray the audience with Faygo.
Like, that's the whole shtick.
Don't people, like, wear raincoats and stuff?
I mean, usually the staff of the venue. Well, that's who I see. I mean, the people who come to the show want to get sprayed with the Faygo. The staff is forced to work this show. But the lore of these two guys from Detroit is that they have face paint, they believe they're part of a dark carnival, and that they love Faygo, the discount brand pop from Michigan, and they spray it on the crowds, and you know, that's their thing. I finally figured it out. I go, man, how the fuck this sticky mess diet. It's
that's
diet.
Good. I like that.
It's diet pop. And it just soaks you, no sticky. There's no sugar.
That's excellent.
I know. I couldn't believe it because I fucking caught some of that Faygo. Like, one of the, because they have like 10 lackey clowns who like run around on stage spraying people with Faygo.
So why don't you get to why we're talking so much about ICP here? Because I almost forgot.
Because they now are doing Juggalo Championship Wrestling, which this is the weird part. That's been around for like 25 years. They've been doing like independent wrestling shows all around Michigan, backyard type shit that maybe made it to local VFW halls. And, you know, we've talked about this. Pro wrestling is more, it's hot right now.
Yeah.
Like in the mainstream media, there's multiple wrestling companies doing big business. So the clowns, for once in their life, made a good decision and they've decided to actually put effort into their Juggalo Championship Wrestling Federation. And they're actually producing weekly shows. Yeah, they're on YouTube. But it's kind of great because it's like the way you and your friends watch wrestling.
Well, yeah.
They swear a lot and shit. And mainly the shows were all where you would think, right? Detroit, Saginaw, Pontiac.
Yeah.
They maybe go down to Ohio. But it turns out, I happened to pop it on last night. I go, oh, the clowns have a new episode of their wrestling show up. You should watch it as we're making dinner. And we pop it on. And they go, don't forget, we're going to the Wild Wild West. Coming to you in Albuquerque, Tucson, and Las Vegas.
He comes into the bathroom while I'm showering and goes, well, it's happening. It's and of course, happening. I'm like, that could mean anything with Pat. That could mean anything. And he goes,
that's a big statement for me.
He goes, the clowns are coming to Tucson. And of course, I said, what do you mean? And he was trying to get me to go. He's like, they're doing Juggalo wrestling in Tucson next weekend. And I kind of paused. He was waiting for a reaction.
What?
And I had to, I'm like, is he asking me to go?
Well, I was just, I mean, you had watched and like she had laughed because, you know, AJ's gotten hip now to pro wrestling, right? She's watched AEW. She's even now watched a WWE event, yes. Right? She watched the Royal Rumble a couple weeks back. So I feel like, you know, you have enough of a feel for the industry that when I was watching it on YouTube, you would actually comment and go, holy shit, this is like the, this is kind of the small leagues, right? You know? And
yeah. So which is fine. That's everybody's got to come up somewhere.
But it's really cool because they have like they can go really over the top with it because no one's trying to make it up to the next level,
right?
No, this
is all for shits and giggles.
So, but I thought maybe just for the oddity of it, I said, well, I'm like, you know, she's kind of into the wrestling thing. She knows who the clowns are. This is just pure. Listen, guys, they got a fucking tag team championship team called the Backseat Boys. And the Backseat Boys have their own fully sang produced pop song and dance.
Who was that one guy on last night? Stephen Flo?
Oh,
Stephen Flo. I laughed.
He's a wrestler coming for you. Yeah, they got a guy named Stephen Flo that looks like Eddie Vedder.
Now, I did say, unfortunately, I'm going to have to turn you down on that one. I said, it is nothing personal. Oh, it's just, shit. I don't think I'd enjoy it. But I said, I have a much better suggestion, which is, again, our friends who I have known since first grade.
She's pawning me off on her friend's husband. That's it. Listen, we all know it's a time-honored tradition. There's a literal fucking movie coming out by Tim Robinson about it. Women like to pair up their men with other women's men's. All right, it's just like children. You guys just stop doing play dates because your kids get too big. So instead, you're like, well, Jimmy, we're going to be going over to Lisa and Rob's. You remember Rob? Remember Rob? You guys watched the baseball game together. Do you like baseball?
Now,
I like baseball.
Hang on.
Do you know Rob likes baseball? Oh, Rob likes baseball.
When I told you that my friends live down here that I've known since first grade. Yeah. I never wanted to force them on you, but I said, you'll like them. They're cool people. They're the greatest. I truly didn't expect you and JJ to connect as much as you did.
Listen, what she's trying to say is,
be quiet for a second.
What she's trying to say is, you didn't want to go with me. You pawned me off.
Jade, I can see you and JJ at that thing. And it's not like either
of you
were forced to go.
I asked him, my kid didn't even want to go. I asked my kid, I'm like, yo, dude, JCW is coming through. And like, my kid is kind of hip now. To all the little small, like I've really turned him into a wrestling nerd. I'm sorry to his dick, because that's not going to do his dick any favors with women in college.
No, it's
his extent of pro wrestling knowledge. Yeah. But so my kid now really does know about a lot of the small leagues. So I thought if I walked in and I said, yo, JC Dub is in from Michigan. They don't come around this way. This is not where they come. You may want to see it. He didn't even want to fucking go, but yes, your friend, yes.
No, yeah. He's our friend. How
your
dare
friend.
You? Whatever.
Well, now when you frame it like that, you could have just said, well, I told him to call his friend JJ. Instead, she has to go, so instead, I told him to call my child. You notice how she said that up? My child.
That's not how
friends.
I worded it last night. I just remember the day you walked into the living room and you had this like epiphany and you go, hey, I think I've got like a concert buddy in JJ. Yeah. He's like, we're into the same stuff.
Yeah, we're close. We're like pretty close. He probably gets a little bit harder into the real heavy, like metal, and like the, I call it Cookie Monster, you know, death. And I'm probably more into like the hippie jammy stuff that like he's not into.
But you guys definitely meet apparently in the middle.
I've gotten him into this. This is what he can thank me for. And luckily, his dick cannot be mad at me because he's already married with kids.
Yeah, he's
she's
good.
Stuck with him. I've turned him on to like independent shitty wrestling. He's into it now. He's gone to like local.
We've gone to
multiple independent shows here
in Tucson
with guys with names like Chubby Depp. Tag teams called the Fat and the Furious. So we're going to real high-end stuff. And now, you know, just the je ne sais quoi on our relationship. Can I introduce you, sir, to Juggalo Championship Wrestling?
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.